You're listening to the Hour of the Dawn. I'm William Cooper. Let's go right straight down to Phoenix for the Metal Report with our good buddy Frank.
How you doing, Bill?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad, sir. A lot of stuff going on.
You see this report from Moody's Investment may downgrade $400 billion in United States T-bills?
Gee, are you really surprised?
Not at all.
there's no secret out there. They're telling you exactly what they're going to do. We're seeing a real strong showing in gold lately. First part of the week, Monday through Wednesday, it was staying flat at 403. We saw some swings during the day, but it ended up real strong today at 406 and change. We're seeing churning on the Dow. It's up, it's down, there's no rhyme or reason for it. When we look at what's going on, you pick up the advanced decline ratio. It's very narrow trading, in essence. More stocks are going down or remaining unchanged than are going up. So when you look at that, it's pretty obvious that the whole situation is being manipulated. It's just a few issues. You buy into this stock, you buy into that stock, a few of the Dow stocks, and boom, you got what appear to be big numbers. Rubin, he's making a lot of noise, but they're basically thinking he's crying wolf. What I thought was very interesting in the Wall Street Journal of yesterday, they had, well, what is all the fuss about a U.S. default? Right there tells you something. That headline should be telling people. They don't think it's that big a deal if the U.S. were to default. And you and I both know that, and hopefully the listeners know that it is a significant deal should they do that. But the article ends up very interestingly. They said, well, why don't they just sell gold? Well, they don't have any, even though they'd like to brainwash people into thinking they do. But it shows the importance that, in essence, the New World Order places on gold. And Rubin says that is not an option. Is they don't want any of their bad money. So why don't the U.S. just, sell the gold and pay the Fed? Why don't they just pay these obligations? The Fed wants the gold. And if we look at, you went through a whole Mystery Babylon series explaining these people's religion. What is symbolic of their sun god? Gold.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that is the importance that people need to understand, is that the New World Order places on gold its religious aspects as much as the financial aspect. That's why they may do some machinations like what you talked about, but the reality is they want to control the gold. So that's why you do that. You do what they do, and you get into the position that they do for themselves. But we're seeing some real strong showings. It's going to be interesting to see exactly at what point in time it will break out and when it'll start running, but we're seeing some very strong showings in the metals overall, and we're in some very interesting times, to say the least.
Absolutely. There is no one alive today who doesn't have a real chance to do something that will, affect generations to come for the good.
Make history.
Absolutely.
We are in perfect position for those of us that are knowledgeable and intelligent enough to do it to make history. Bill, they're going to be reading about you 200 years from now, just as they read about Ben Franklin and George Washington and the rest of it. And I got to be honest, you're one of those as well. I think it takes individuals to be at the forefront to make positive change, and we can do it.
Well, you may be right. I was on a, I never try to hide my identity. Unless I just don't want to be bothered by people. I'll go online and use another internet address if I don't want to be bothered by people. I never go on to spy on anybody or anything like that. It's just that people know who I am, and sometimes if they recognize who I am, then
they're
really
mailbox with nonsense.
Really bother me a lot. So sometimes I'll use another name, but you know, generally when I'm dealing with intelligent people that I feel I can really respect and converse with on a level that's above the norm, I use my own name, and that's Tadgy, and it's recognized by everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's so recognized that I went on a military list habitated by people who are involved in the command, control, communications, intelligence, all of these things. And right off the bat, I was recognized.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I probably get as many, if not more, phone calls than you do. Talked to a gentleman today, a lieutenant in the military. He had first heard you. He just caught you spinning through the dial on an FM broadcast, and it's like, and all he could get was the 800 number. So, you know, he calls in, and when these people call in with questions, if one of the other guys there talks to them, immediately they kick them over to me, so I can explain to them what's going on, and I give them your phone number and how to get a hold of Veritas and all that other stuff. So you are making a difference, and I agree with you. I use my real name as well. I've got nothing to hide. I'm not doing anything illegal. The guys are over again tonight. One of them was followed around a little bit, you know, but it's going to happen. Well, you know, if you're not doing anything wrong, you got nothing to worry about. We're not doing anything wrong, at least morally or legally. But we are a threat to them, and we have to be careful, as you already know. It's pointed out very well in your book, the dangers that are out there.
Oh, yes.
And we do need to keep that in mind, but having been in law enforcement, it's always, you know, running around in condition orange anyhow. So, you know, we are living in this interesting times. We cannot be afraid. We must be willing to step forward, do what needs to be done, because I don't know that we're going to stop this, but I do think that we can steer in a direction where we want it to be, where it'll truly be beneficial.
Yeah, I believe that, too. I don't believe the world is ever going to be like it ever was before, and all these people who think that they're going to turn it to like it was in 1789 or 1776 or even 1900.
If it returned that way, it would be under such catastrophic conditions, you wouldn't survive it.
Well, absolutely.
And so what's the point? I mean,
yeah.
Why would anyone want that to happen? Because it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, everything is always in a state of change. The world moves forward. Whatever that forward is going to be depends upon how much input everyone puts into it to get a portion of what they want it to be.
Exactly. And quit operating out of fear.
Right.
And think intelligently and rationally, and recognize that you give them power by operating out of fear. You take away the fear factor, you deny them their power.
Yeah. And by them, ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about some mysterious, unknown group of people. There is a group of people in the world who are known to everybody who want to bring an international world, I shouldn't have said international, it's a world totalitarian socialist government, which they call a benevolent dictatorship, and freedom is going to go by the wayside, and we don't want that to happen. We want to preserve as much freedom and liberty as we possibly can for all peoples, of all races, of all religions, of all nationalities. I don't care.
Exactly. Bill, what do you think is going to happen with China, the saber rattling with Taiwan?
Well, this isn't anything new. My wife is from Taiwan, as you well know. And my father was an Air Force pilot who participated in helping to keep Taiwan from being invaded back in the when it was called Formosa. And every so many years, the mainland China has done this. They rattle a saber and threaten to invade Formosa, what is now Taiwan, and threaten to bombard it with artillery and all kinds of things. Our personnel in Taiwan and in Hong Kong have informed me that they sincerely believe that this is just another one of those incidences, and they don't believe that anything is actually going to transpire.
Okay, good. I got to be honest. There's a part of me that says, okay, I'm ready. Like the fighter pilot. You know, you train, and you kind of look forward to a degree to be able to use that training. But the far more rational side says, I hope I never have to. And you know, this would be indicative if there was any truth to
it. You haven't known many fighter pilots, have you?
Well, I've actually had a few, but the ones I've seen to me tend to be a little bit crazy.
They are. They're a lot crazy, and they're a lot of fun, and they're great guys and extremely intelligent. But I got to tell you this, I've been around an awful lot of them in my Navy career, and I served on an aircraft carrier, the USS Oriskany CVA-34, with a lot of fighter pilots. And they can't wait to get into the air and actually participate in combat and down another aircraft.
That's what I mean.
They live, eat, breathe, train for it, everything is their life. It's a tremendous letdown when they're called up in an alert and it turns out to be another drill.
Oh, I mean, like I said, there's that part of me that's looking forward to this.
But the ones who have actually experienced combat, such as the fighter pilots who actually participated in the raids on Hanoi, and some other places, for instance, Baghdad, with all the flak and the anti-aircraft defenses. Once they've been through that, they're not that way anymore, I can assure you.
That's exactly. there are still some. I have a real good friend of mine who's an 18 Charlie, a Special Forces engineer. When that whole situation down here in Phoenix was developing last summer with those Germans in Wickenburg, I went up there. I wanted to see for myself what was going on. And I found out it was a lot more than what met the eye. And it was basically a test run to see what the locals would do. And I talked to my friend about it. He got really angry. He says, you know, I go overseas and train, and I kick these guys' butts in training overseas. He says, I'm really looking forward to doing it on my own turf. And I think that's pretty indicative of a lot of the sort of people staying in the military. They know what's going on. It's unfortunate about the decision with Michael New today. You know, I'm sure he will appeal that, and I, you know, God bless him in his endeavors. But yeah, there's a lot of people in the military on our side. They're just laying low, and promises to be very interesting.
Well, I can assure you, the entire upper echelon of the Second Continental Army, the Republic, are active duty and retired. Are honorably discharged military personnel, some of their names would be recognized immediately.
Oh, I'm sure they would be, but obviously we don't need to discuss that.
No, and we won't.
But, the new world order is biting off a lot more than it can chew. And if we continue progressing at the rate we are with organization and with the rest of it, with the training, they will not be able to carry it off. All I can say is, like I said before, is God bless Linda Thompson, because if it wasn't for her, we would probably not be where we are today. It took a whole lot of courage by her to step up to the pump and do what she did to force people to awaken. And if it wasn't for that, I think we'd be at a serious disadvantage right now.
Well, you're right. We do owe an awful lot to her. It was Linda who brought the attention of the entire world to the massacre, the murders of all of those people in Waco. Any last parting words you want to give to our listeners?
Buy gold now while it's cheap, because it's going up.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you got a new newsletter yet?
Not yet. They tend to come out kind of quarterly. I got my UN 1994 development report today.
Tell Craig I keep talking about a newsletter. He better get one written quick.
Well, he just got this one out, and it's really good. And it'll probably stay there for a little bit. They got some other things in the wings. He's already got some articles put out for it. But this one is a real good one. So the real good ones tend to stay. They tend to use them for an extended period because they do make a real big impact. Because we always got new people calling, and we'd like to make sure that they get something, you know, real good in their hands.
Okay, you guys, call Frank 1-800-289-2646 and do it now. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Bill. We'll talk to you later.
Bye. Well, folks, you heard Frank say something about Michael New, and I was going to give you the story. He was found guilty and awarded a bad conduct discharge for refusing to wear the uniform of a foreign power, in effect the United Nations, against his oath of allegiance to the Constitution for the United States of America. And I think the United States Army, the President of the United States, and a lot of people are going to be eating that for a long time. Start calling, protest, put up signs everywhere that you can, and let's don't ever let this one lie. This is bullshit. This is absolute, total, terrible, despicable bullshit to destroy a young man with a perfect service record, who has been given commendations and awards for his participation in the military, and to do that to him because he refused to put on a blue beanie and a United Nations arm patch and serve under the command of a foreign officer, in my estimation, is tantamount to treason. And I'm not going to stand still for it, and I'm not going to let it rest, and I hope that you don't either. So get busy on that, folks. Gentlemen, they've been telling you that when they take your guns away, that'll be the end of it, right? Well, it's not right. They got the guns of the English a long, long time ago, and now they're taking their knives. Headmaster Slane prompts Britons to hand over knives. 24 January 96 from the Columbus Dispatch. Stung by the stabbing death of a head schoolmaster, Britons surrendered more than 37,000 knives in a month-long program to make the country safer. How about that? And Quentin, ladies and gentlemen, has been caught in another blatant lie. Listen to this. While the Clinton administration repeatedly assured the American people that the Bosnian peacekeeping mission would be limited to about 1 year, Representative Duncan Hunter, Republican, California, chairman of the House National Security Subcommittee on Military Procurement, finds that the details of the Dayton Agreement itself mandate a commitment of a minimum of 5 years, and that the United Nations will, quote, manage nearly every aspect of Bosnian life, end quote. See, I told you that this was just a United Nations activity disguised behind the name of NATO, which was formed under the authority of the United Nations. Analyzing the 12 annexes to the Dayton Agreement in a recent memo, Hunter reveals that the plan calls for a third of the justices on the Bosnian High Court to be foreign citizens. How would you like to have the justices of the Supreme Court be from South America and Africa? Calls for the Bosnian Central Bank to be run by a foreign citizen appointed by the International Monetary Fund, and imposes a Bosnian constitution that includes the United Nations guarantee of economic, social, and cultural rights, and, quote, the rights of the child, end quote. Hunter concludes that the program will turn the country into a United Nations protectorate, and that Bosnia will continue to be our responsibility for the rest of the century. Now, I've warned you, ladies and gentlemen, I told you, the United States military forces at this time is nothing more than the police force for the United Nations. And all of you in the military forces, especially officers, if you think otherwise, you're fooling yourself. Or you're rationalizing so that you won't have to quit and go really work for a living. It's going to catch up to you. The American people are extremely angry about this. And what's happening in Bosnia is eventually going to happen everywhere, ladies and gentlemen, including here. If you don't believe me, read the entire plethora of publications that come out of the United States Disarmament Agency. Read State Department Publication 7277. Read the stated policy of the United States of America toward disarmament and the stated goal of the United Nations of disarmament of every nation and every peoples upon the face of this earth to bring together the forces of the major nations, the powerful nations, under the United Nations as a world police force. And basically, that's what PDD number 25 has already done in secret. So let's go to the phones and see what you've got to say. Been listening to 2 solid hours now of solid information, documented, sourced, factual, on the National Security Agency that nobody in this world has ever heard before. One guy on that military list, I let him get away with it because I just didn't want to stir up the pot any more than it already was, stated that he'd been listening to the broadcast last night. I don't know if he heard the first night or not, and that everything that I said was true. The truth is, he'd never heard anything that I said ever before in his life, so he didn't know if it was true or not. He was full of bullshit, as a lot of people are, trying to make himself into a big man. And until we did the research and the putting together of all of that information, I never knew it either. But you people, the listeners to this broadcast, who have already heard those 2 hours, know more about the National Security Agency than most of the people who work for that agency, even today. And I haven't finished yet. In fact, I just barely started. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you, Bill. This is Chris in Seminole.
Chris, can you talk louder? You're not even on the meter.
Oh, is this better?
That's much better.
Okay. First of all, can one send text files to you at your email address?
Yes.
Okay. Then I have a couple of good recent text files on the NSA I'll send you.
Good.
But I'm calling about Presidential Decision Directive 25.
Chris, you got to talk louder and keep it up there.
Okay.
You got to maintain that level.
Okay. I was looking through a transcript of one of my community access shows and find where a Representative Michael, a Republican from Illinois, submitted House Resolution 4301 to have PDD 25 revealed.
Yes.
And so that's something that I'm suggesting many people call their Congress critters about and encourage them to vote to have this revealed, because it can be by Congress. And Clinton's obviously, like the New York Times says, and I believe it was November 24th, said that, it says the Army argues that the order, which is to wear the UN insignia, was legal under the classified Presidential Decision Directive 25. And that's a quote from the New York Times. So it's
But it's not legal according to the Constitution. It's not legal according to Army regulations. And it's not legal according to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And the President, even though he's the President, can't throw the Constitution in the trash or the law. You see, the Uniform Code of Military Justice is an act of Congress. It's a law.
Yeah, can you cover that again? Because the reception wasn't too good, and I have the Uniform Code of Military Justice. And I also have the summary of PDV 25, which, can I just read a quote from you that I haven't heard anyone read before over the air?
Yeah, but talk louder, Chris. I don't know why you keep dropping your voice like that.
I'm sorry.
You got to maintain the level. You got to remember, people are listening on shortwave through all the static and propagation and other crap, and they can't hear you if you don't have that needle up where it's supposed to be.
Okay. This is an excerpt from point number 3, which is from the official summary, I should say. It's from the government summary. Quote, the greater the anticipated U.S. military role, the less likely it will be that the U.S. will agree to have a U.N. commander exercise overall operational control, capital C, over U.S. forces, period, end quote. And so that's obviously stating, or Clinton is trying to think that he has authority to give permission, to supersede Article 1, Section 9, Clause 7. of the Constitution regarding the, you know, presence. They should, Michael knew, and of course the others are obligated, other soldiers are obligated not to accept presence.
Yeah. You know, all those people who claim that they would resign or leave the service if New was convicted, we're going to find out now how many of them were all talk and no action, or how many of them will really stand up for what they believe and do what they said they'll do.
Well, maybe they will have faith in the process. But could you cover once again the information?
Hey, you can let them off the hook if you want to. I'm not about to. They said if he was convicted, they would either resign or leave when their enlistment was up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to let them off the hook. I'm going to rub it in their face. If they don't do it, then they are dishonorable people and should not be holding the positions that they're holding.
Mm-hmm. And about the resistor, someplace in there I read where they stated that a certain percentage were supportive of, I suppose, not supporting the government and going AWOL.
We all support the government. We don't support those in the government who are trying to destroy our Republican form of constitutional government.
I mean, not go along with senseless and unconstitutional and violent and excessive force type things. And I'm saying that they said they have a certain percentage of the military that will not go along with what the government says.
When?
Oh, I that's what I'm waiting to see. There's
when? They keep saying that. Then they go down and massacre a bunch of people in Waco, Texas. They have 500 federal officers, military personnel, National Guard, APCs, tanks, helicopters in Waco, Texas, at Ruby Ridge. They went to Somalia where they weren't invited by anyone, and they said they were going to feed the people, and they slaughtered a whole bunch of people. They were opposed when they invaded that country uninvited by patriots. What did they call them? Gang lords.
Oh.
Warlords.
Well,
militia men. And then they couldn't catch them. And they couldn't figure out how they were communicating because they were using CB radio. And then, when they got a helicopter shot down and a couple of our people dead, stripped, naked, drugged through the streets, they tucked their tail between their legs and left. Now, what kind of bullshit is going on here?
It's the police/military mentality that overwhelming excessive force must be used or don't attempt it at all.
Well, it's not the military mentality of the military personnel that I served with when I was in the military. They were honorable, good people.
Mm-hmm.
They did things because they believed it was right and in the best interest of this country. And a lot of times we were fooled and did things we were told to do that weren't in the best interest of this country because we were sheeple. I was a sheeple then. But these people here now, never mind. You're going to get me up on my box, and that's not the purpose of tonight.
Well, all they need to understand is that with all the unconstitutional authority that they're being given recently, they should be most afraid of not only the congressmen and the legislators, but their superiors who order them to go on these unconstitutional and obviously abusive tirades, you know, raids and tirades, I'm saying. And they're the ones who have most to fear from the laws that give them the authority to do ever-increasing strict law enforcement, as they might like to think of it.
Well, that's what you'd think. But, a lot of people who served in Hitler's SS claimed to be honorable, upstanding people who were doing the best for Germany. So you never really know. Got to let you go, Chris. Thank you for calling.
All right. Bye now.
Well, 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening. You're on the air.
Bill, good evening.
Hello.
Have you been made aware of the 10 January 96 Wall Street Journal article referenced blueprint for managed food care?
No.
Quite amazing.
What does it say? Just put it in a nutshell. Don't try to read the whole article or go into a big long dissertation. But basically, what is the theme of the article?
The theme is that they're going to come out with a managed food care plan regulating access to stores and restaurants. Now, I'll give you some key buzzwords in this article. Food benefit plans, food management organization, individual consumption profiles, gatekeepers, and the very end, the last step of the article, ultimately managed food care, will accelerate the accumulation of capital in the hands of those who know best how to promote a healthier and leaner America. Heil Hitler.
I wonder who that could be. Who's going to do this?
Well, we've got an unnamed U.S. senator who requests his name to be withheld has begun to draft legislation designed to fundamentally reform the way Americans consume food. This is Wall Street Journal, 10 January, 96. Check it out.
Okay, now, I got to tell everybody, because the senator's unnamed, this might be one of these made-up journalistic dreamland stories. The source is the Wall Street Journal, and
Dr. Lieberman is an associate clinical professor of psychiatry at Yale University School of Medicine.
Psychiatry?
Mind games. Psychological preparation.
Oh, boy.
What the reaction is. Test the waters.
Well,
I've got my food. I don't know about you all.
I'm going to hate to see the look on these people's faces when they try to really try to implement some of these things. Nobody's ever screwed with the American people on their own soil. And look how bad we are when we're on somebody else's soil when we really want to be bad.
It's going to be wild. Atomic-type devices. And if you know the George Washington scenario, the vision, that is, the last vision, he sees the city.
No, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's not legitimate on this broadcast.
Okay.
Somebody's vision is not legitimate on this broadcast. It's not even. It can't even be verified that George Washington ever had such a vision.
Understood.
In fact, that thing didn't surface until a long, long time after he was even dead. And even if he said he had a vision, how do we know he really had a vision, and how do we know that a vision means anything? Okay?
Understood. Thank you very much, Bill.
You're welcome. It's okay for you guys to read that stuff. I read it. You know, it's okay for you to believe it, but it's not okay to put across to other people as something that we should be basing anything on. We have to go by facts, by figures, by the real world to play in this world. You want to play in the spiritual world, we can do that, and then we can bring all that kind of stuff in and talk about anything you want to in the belief realm. Okay? I've got my beliefs, you've got your beliefs, that's okay. I don't want you interfering with mine, and I won't ever interfere with yours. Promise. What I interfere with is facts. Facts, 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 facts. Deceptions. Reality. That's what this broadcast is all about.
Shall I say, it's cold. Reed. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper.
Who shall I say is calling?
Doug, and I'm a first-time caller. And I'd like to ask you a question without sounding sarcastic. I don't want you to think the wrong thing here.
Anybody can ask or say anything they want as long as they're intelligent and polite.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Do you record the phone numbers of your callers?
No.
Oh, okay.
We do have a caller ID system. We do not control the... We do not... record the callers. We do not save the numbers in memory. The only reason we have it for is occasionally somebody will call and make a threat. When they do that, we take that number and turn it into the local sheriff and send it to the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Well, I'm not doing that. I'm hearing a lot of things on other stations, and without trying to puff you up, I think you have some credibility. And one of the questions I want to ask, have you heard anything about this underground food storage up in Kansas? Or is that just a bunch of BS?
Well, I don't know. I do know that years ago, the United States government designated certain underground installations as fallout shelters in case of atomic war. And I have identified in our research over 25 underground installations that belong to the Atomic Energy Commission and 75 that were built with the reason, quote, for a place for the president to be taken in case of atomic war, end quote. But we know that that's not true because almost all of them are so far away from Washington, D.C. that in case they detected a missile launch from what used to be the Soviet Union, for example, he would never have had any time to get to any of them except the ones in the very near vicinity of Washington, D.C.
I was listening to a station yesterday.
And wait a minute, I'm not finished.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And in some of these, especially the ones designated as fallout shelters in case of atomic war, there's one very near here. It's the Grand Canyon Caverns. There is food stored in those facilities.
Oh, there was a station I was listening to yesterday morning, and they had mentioned it a couple of times. And they had a caller call in that was a truck driver. And he said that he had to make regular deliveries to this place, and it was like 2 miles long and, you know, underground and had all kind of different storage under it.
Yeah, but that's hearsay. That's like somebody saying that they know a place underground where there's 5,000 Soviet tanks stored.
And what's your read on this other stuff that we've got, you know, 300,000 troops here? You know, I'm retired. So
300,000 what troops?
Russian troops.
No, it's bullshit.
Well, you know, I'm retired military, and I guess I'm used to it. I was in the training business, and we were always training someone of a foreign nation.
Yes, we are routinely training people from foreign countries, and we have been holding joint training exercises on a large scale from time to time with Russian military personnel at Fort Polk, Louisiana, in Kansas, and in several other places around the country in preparation for joint peacekeeping missions. And at some future date, if they're not successful in disarming the American people, according to the Disarmament Agency's plans and the plans of the United Nations, those peacekeeping troops will be in the United States of America disarming Americans.
You know, I guess my question is, you know, there's so much of this stuff floating around. How in the world do you discern? I mean, layman like myself, how do you discern what is good information versus bad information when you don't have the...
Very simple. It's very, very simple. Somebody comes to you with something, look them right straight in the eye and say, prove it. If they can't prove it, tell them to get off your porch and don't come back.
Yeah, you know, like I said, there's so much of this stuff floating around on the radio.
Same thing. If you can't prove it or they can't prove it, if they can't document it or give you... See, one thing good about this broadcast, I never tell you anything as a fact unless I give you the source of the documentation so that you can go look it up yourself.
Well,
never,
that's,
ever.
I'm saying that's what...
And if I give you an opinion, I always tell you that it's my opinion.
Well,
and if I read to you out of a book, I tell you what book it is and who the author is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what is lending some credibility to your program.
It better be lending a whole hell of a lot of credibility to my program, because I'm the only program that does it.
I didn't mean that.
I know.
There is so much stuff floating around out there. I think a lot of it is propaganda.
99.9% of it is a product of what's called information warfare.
Okay. Well, you know, if you hear something enough times, when it happens, it's not a surprise.
Well, not only is it not a surprise, but that's not the point of it. The point is to keep everybody confused, chasing their tails, and when they stand up and talk about this stuff and it's so easily proven to be lies, it makes them all look like radical, right-wing, stupid fools, which is exactly the image they want to convey about most of the people in this country who care about liberty and freedom and the Constitution and the principles and ideals upon which America was built.
Yeah, I tell you, during the Waco hearings, those, when they called in those folks from Montana, so they made everyone who...
The militia of Montana, the seven guys that sit in that room full of stuff that they run off of their copier and sell to everybody?
Yeah. This one guy had a book 2 feet thick and, you know, gave it to one of the senators. And I thought, my God, I'm retired military. You know, I mean, I love this country. And this guy is making me look like an idiot.
That's exactly what he was supposed to do. He was deeply involved in the Iran-Contra affair. He is what's called a Trojan horse.
Well, I tell you what, don't go off the air, is all I can say.
Well, I don't plan on it. Somebody else might have other ideas, but I'll be here as long as I'm physically able.
And, you know, and this is just one guy's here. No threats intended, nothing like that. But, you know, those folks, they need to be careful what they wish for. They might get it.
Yeah, they do. That's a fact.
And this is, I'm just talking one guy that hangs around with a bunch of old retired military guys, you know, and sometimes you need to be careful what you wish for.
Yep, that's correct.
You know, you hear so much stuff going on about the CFR and all that stuff, you know. They need to be careful. And that's not a threat. I don't mean that.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you mean.
Sometimes...
And if they were smart, they'd listen to what you're saying.
Sometimes things aren't what they seem to be.
Yeah.
You know, and being just an ordinary Joe out here in the street, I'm telling you, Mr. Cooper, there are a lot of people mad.
Yes, there are.
I mean, there are a lot of people upset, and I'm sure that someone's monitoring this program.
I can assure you that they monitor this program every night.
And I, you know, this is one guy speaking. If they're listening, there's a lot of people mad. There's a lot of people upset. There's a lot of people confused. They don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what's going on.
Well, you keep listening, and you keep studying, and you keep discerning and separating the bullshit from the truth, and it won't be long until you know what's going on.
You have yourself a good evening, Mr. Cooper.
Thank you, and thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Now, that was a sincere gentleman who was concerned, who is probably a new listener. In fact, I think he said he was a new listener. But we're picking up new listeners all the time on a massive scale, ladies and gentlemen. You wouldn't believe it. It blows my mind. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill.
Turn off your radio.
I did. I just shut it down.
Okay.
This is Charlie from down Tucson.
Yeah, Charlie.
Yeah, I was listening to Radio for Peace International Saturday night.
You mean the Communist Propaganda Network?
Oh, that's right. They were doing their far-right report.
Uh-huh.
And
they don't even know what right is.
Yeah, right.
They think Nazis are on the right. They're the Nazis. Nazis were socialists.
That's right, Bill. Anyway, they were going down through the list of Patriot stations, et cetera, et cetera. And their two most formidable enemies was William Cooper and the Dave Hinkson Show out of Las Vegas.
I finally found out who Dave Hinkson is. He's the guy that follows me on the satellite.
Right. He's gone for 3 hours.
Yeah. Well, see, I never knew that. Somebody called. In fact, they didn't call. I got three letters from different people all saying that he said that I was afraid to appear on his show. Number one, if I've got my own show, why would I want to appear on his show? And he's never asked me. Number two, and number three, why would anybody give a damn?
Yeah, right. That's my opinion, too, Bill. Well, I thought you'd be interested in that. That's on that 7.385 out of Costa Rica, Santa Ana.
Yeah, that's the
That's the socialist propaganda arm of the United Nations.
Right.
Radio for Peace International. Peace to these people means that you give up all your rights and liberties and bow down, kiss their boots, do what they say, accept all the socialist programs from Big Daddy, and then take the dictation from Daddy that all of that warrants. And
anyway, they're
in big trouble. I eat them alive every night.
They said they're going to try to blitz your program. They're trying to lay out an agenda to do that. So,
well, if they do that, then I can bring legal action against them. So I hope that they try it.
Right. Well,
because I certainly will. I'll put the scum sucking socialist scumbags in jail.
You betcha. Okay, Bill. Well, I'll tell you what.
And take all their money to boot.
Yeah. You keep up the good work, boy.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
You see? Thank you. Thank you for calling.
All right, Bill. Good night.
You see, if they were just accidentally on a station that somehow was interfering, then the stations would work it out. But you see, if they announced this on the air that they're intentionally going to damage me and my family and my broadcast of Swiss America Trading and all of the listeners out there, then they've already sunk themselves in any court in the world. I hope they do it. I hope they try it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill?
Yes.
Bill from Alabama. Something I thought you might find of interest, I heard on a news broadcast a couple of days ago.
Yes.
This was a taped transcript, apparently, of the one of the Travelgate people who was testifying before Congress. He said he knew he was in trouble when, after a couple of months in the Clinton travel office, that a uniformed White House messenger came in and congratulated each one of them on the good job they were doing. Then he presented them with one red rose.
Uh-oh.
About 15 or 20 minutes later, he came back and said it was all a mistake. And that's when they knew they were in trouble. But
did he take the roses back?
I'm not sure on that. It wasn't clear.
Give me that. It's a mistake.
I heard the part about the red rose.
Yeah, absolutely. What made me sick was to see Clinton in Oklahoma City at that memorial for those poor people who were killed in that bombing. And he and Hillary sitting there holding one red rose in front of them, and then roses being passed out to each of the people as they came in, and none of them understanding what it meant. And then in his speech, Clinton talked about those who sacrificed. Those who were sacrificed. You understand what I'm talking about?
Literally, they were sacrificed.
Yes.
I absolutely understand. By the way, I've got a letter in the mail to you with a resume.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night, Bill.
Good night. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a productive hour. Much better callers than on some nights. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. I just want to ask you a question about, if you can tell me this definition from the revised statutes from 1873 to 1874.
You got to talk louder.
Okay. In the revised statutes of 1873 and 1874,
yeah.
In the Internal Revenue Code, there's a definition of state, and it says, when used in this title, shall be construed to include the territories and the District of Columbia where such construction is necessary to carry out its provisions. Does that only mean...
Yes.
That, okay.
Yes, in the law, you must spell out...
In the territories, not the states.
That's correct. In the law, includes limits to that which is enumerated.
Okay.
Or discussed, or right. Named by name. And the law specifically states that nothing can be left to conjecture or guess. Mm-hmm. In other words, they have to state exactly what it means and what is included. And when they say includes the District of Columbia and the territories, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, and so on and so forth, that is, it's limited to exactly what was named.
Right.
You see, words in the law do not mean the same thing as they do in ordinary, everyday conversation. And that's where people get all screwed up.
Mm-hmm. And some later, like I think in 1939. For instance, okay.
Yugoslavia is a state, isn't it?
Right.
Does it include Yugoslavia?
Yes.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
It doesn't include Yugoslavia in the income tax law.
Okay, I see what you mean.
You see the point I'm making?
Okay.
That's why you have to be specific in the law.
Okay.
You cannot be vague. You cannot leave it to the imagination or the interpretation of someone.
Mm-hmm. And this is, in the 1938 or 39 edition of the Internal Revenue Code also, it always says, when it talks about the United States, it says only in a geographical sense. And then it uses that same definition of, I think...
Look in Black's Law Dictionary, and you'll find that there are actually three definitions for United States.
Okay.
But you have to understand, the particular entity that we belong to as a people, as sovereign citizens of the state that we live in, of the 50 states, is the United States of America.
Okay.
Not United States... Not United States government,
mm-hmm.
not United States citizen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a citizen, you're a citizen of the United States of America.
Right.
Or you're a citizen of the state of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're a citizen of the territory of Puerto Rico.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for that information. And which, I'm trying to find, I sent me the first or second edition of Black's Law Dictionary is the one to find.
Any edition of Black's Law Dictionary is a good edition because they have pretty much stuck to the accepted. In fact, they have.
Okay.
It's a good law dictionary
okay.
to use.
Right.
Generally, though, the older the dictionary, the more grounded in actual good legal process you're going to be. You're welcome.
All right. Good night.
And also, you have to understand, folks, that the definition of words can change with different laws and in different sets of regulations. But if they change the definition from the definition accepted by the law in general, they must specifically state within that law, regulation, statute, or code exactly what their new definition of that word is. Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm calling from Wisconsin. Al is my name.
Hi, Al. What can I do for you?
Well, we just confirmed today that for the past 2 years, Burnett County Sheriff's Department has been using satellite communication for mapping all traffic on the grid screens of their system for locating cars within our county. And I was wondering if you could possibly give me the number to call for that allodial. Remember you were talking a couple weeks ago, and I missed the number, Mr. Cooper, about allodial titleship.
It wasn't me talking, and I don't have the number. You need to call Frank at Swiss America Trading.
Call Frank at Swiss America Trading.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the part I missed.
Yeah, I think that was the night Frank was doing the broadcast.
Very, very, very possible.
I was deathly ill
yes,
in bed.
Sir.
I wasn't even listening.
Okay. I'm hoping you're getting better.
Well, I am. I'm fine now.
The system just, you know, up here in Wisconsin, we just can't get you.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
I understand, sir. I understand. It's not your fault. We understand that. And we've got a lot of people up here supporting you, trying to do our best to stay on top of this stuff.
Wonderful.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for calling.
You bet.
520-333-4578. Tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to give you a reading. Well, no, I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue with the National Security Agency stuff. Got a lot more to go. Stuff that people who work for the NSA don't even know. In fact, you've already had 2 hours of stuff that people who work for the NSA don't even know. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, Bill. It's Dan from Texas.
Yes, Dan.
I wanted to ask you, have you heard anything about H.R. 2580? It's
I've got so many HRs and S numbers floating around here. If you'll tell me a little bit about what's in it, I'll tell you if I know about it.
I've heard just a little bit about it. Supposed to be introduced by Schumer, by John Cox.
What's the subject? What's it about?
The Republican form of Government Guarantee Act. And evidently, from what I've heard, this is just what I've heard, it would impose rules, would probably shut down programs such as yours and any other Patriot things on TV, evidently, and stuff, making comments about same groups making unsubstantiated reports and wild reports about the crime bill and wild reports about the Brady bill. And
then they're not talking about this broadcast. I never say anything on this broadcast I can't document or can't
source. Right, I understand that, but, you know, it was a general consensus of what they try and do was to...
Well, unfortunately, they're right about a lot of broadcasts.
Right. Caught just the end of
One of the biggest. Listen to Rush Limbaugh for a while.
Right. Well, that's one thing these people are talking about. They said, well, they have to find some way to give Rush a dispensation since he's actually out there working for their side.
Yeah, they would, wouldn't they?
That's what I think. Well, I'm going to try and look it up myself and send it out to you.
It's never going to fly. You see, they have to completely burn the first article and amendment and a whole bunch of other things to make that bill fly. And Schumer's screaming.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even want to talk about Schumer. I just imagine his face in my head, and it makes me ill physically.
Right.
He is the most evil-looking person I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. At the same time, I hear any bill connected to his name, it automatically raises my antenna.
That guy is scary.
Okay.
I mean, he would have been right at home in Stalin's purges.
Oh, I agree.
He would have loved it. He would have been slaughtering people right and left.
Okay,
thanks for calling.
Okay, Bill. Bye-bye.
Well, that's it, folks. Don't miss tomorrow night. We're going to pick up right where we left off with the National Security Agency and keep right on trucking. Good night. God bless each and every single one of you.
Dance me on and on. stand, Sarah, tenderly and damned. I long will both of us beneath our love. Oh,